so that we're actually doing it together. And we've got everybody in here together and actually really believing and praying, and they'll be encouraged and you'll be encouraged. So we'll talk more about that as time goes on. But it was a fantastic day in the middle of that Christmas New Year break. As you look back at 2021, you would perhaps, it'd mean different things to different people. Some of you have graduated. Some of you might have finished high school. Some of you might be going from primary school to high school. There might be kids here that are about to start school. You know, you've graduated, being at home. Some of you got married. I can look around and see people that got married this year, quite a number. Yeah, but we've all been impacted in different ways and had different levels of disruption and uncertainty as a result of the pandemic. We've experienced and watched polarization around issues that go on in our society. We've seen the whole vaccine thing become a very polarizing thing in our community. I think over the last couple of years, but particularly to me, in the year that's just been, the polarization that we see in our political landscape is bigger than I've ever seen it in my lifetime. I think a positive part of that is, as the Church of Jesus Christ, the polarization means that we just can't just float along and have a nice sort of consumer brand of Christianity. You see, if that's your brand of Christianity, I don't think it's going to work in the years to come. I think we're actually being called to really know what we're about, be confident in who we are in Christ, and live out that, because we're actually going to need that to live in the future. And I mean, that might, in some ways it seems hard, but I actually believe that what we're going into, I believe that 2022 is going to be a year where we see the gospel of Jesus Christ impact our community like never before. I think there is no other answer for so many things that are going on. And I think who's getting something starting to burn in their heart and burn in their spirit about the gospel going out and impacting people like you've never seen in your lifetime before? See, I talk to people everywhere and it's a factor. It's something that's going on. It's something that is happening. But as we go in to another year, and you might feel like this was one of those years, and you're thinking, oh, we don't want to do that again. And I remember feeling like that last year, didn't we? We thought, oh, yeah. We sort of put that behind us, and we had this little window, and away we went again. In Habakkuk 3:18-19, it says, yet, no matter what's going on, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the Lord of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer and able to tread upon the heights. I want to go here this morning. I just think you've actually got to say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. There's so much power in choosing to rejoice. In Lamentations, I want to take you back to an interesting little book in the Bible. And in Pentecostal churches, by and large, we're not big on lamenting. You know, we're onwards and upwards and looking forward, and you know, I love that. But you know, there is some power in lamenting. You know, my Anglican friends tell me about the power of the lament, and they have certain liturgies and things that are written that help you lament. In other words, you understand perhaps the weight and the power of your sin or your mistakes and those things, and you let it sit for a little bit, and you connect with it, and you feel it. But going forward into a new year, some of you will make New Year's resolutions as we approach the year. the things that we wish we could achieve and the things that we don't want to do. And I thought you made a good comment there, Mel, that so many of those resolutions that we hear people make are really selfish, aren't they? But we've probably all made them at times, haven't we? And hoping that an area of our life will somehow magically transform because it's a new year and we've made a resolution. I will exercise more. I will eat less chocolate. I will binge less TV. I won't yell at the kids. Maybe your kids have left home. That's probably the easiest way. So you haven't been yelling at the kids much this year, Pete? But the thing about these resolutions is who's made one of those? The classic one, isn't it? 2022, I'm going to buy a gym membership. In we go. And then life starts to happen and you don't get to the gym. And then you're thinking about this gym membership you've been paying for and are still paying for. And what do you feel? You feel guilt. You feel the weight of guilt and this failure of not getting to the gym. So what do you do? Open another bar of chocolate. Oh, I'll start next week. It's been a bad week. I don't want to worry about it. I might as well just eat some more chocolate, enjoy it, and I'll start again next week. Anyway, 6 months in, it's sort of like, oh, right. Well, anyway, we're too far into the year now. Might as well eat chocolate for the rest of the year and we'll start afresh next year. Who's done that? And we sort of end up living with these regrets. And the book of Lamentations was written by prophet Jeremiah, and he's actually lamenting what had happened to his country and his nation because of the decisions that they'd made and the path that they'd gone down. And so often we regret certain things. He was lamenting, and I think there's power in lamenting, but I want to encourage you not to be living in regret. And sometimes you've actually got to move to a place of lament to move beyond regret. See, when I was at high school, I finished high school and I had this regret. Not a big deal, it hasn't scarred me for life, but because I was a kid that was going to do, like, had decided that I wanted to do an apprenticeship and be a tradie. And so what you did is you got this choice back when I was at high school. You could choose a certain amount of subjects. And you know, some people would choose things like win wonderful things like advanced maths. I couldn't understand anybody that would ever choose advanced maths, but we have these people and they're very valuable. Eva probably would have chose advanced maths. but I thought, okay, and then you could choose things like like art and woodwork, metalwork, technical drawing and cooking and all these different subjects. So I was going to be a tradie. So I thought, okay, I'll choose woodwork, metalwork. I love that. I'll also do tech drawing. I hated tech drawing, but somehow I thought it would be good for me. Now, those that know me a little bit, if you've seen my skills with a biro or a pencil, you know how my tech drawing would have turned out. Yeah, we're working out what they are, but yes, I do. Anyway, I finished high school, and I'd spent the last 2 years doing technical drawing, feeling frustrated the whole time, and ended up with a very poor result. And I thought to myself, what a waste of time, because one of the subjects that I really loved prior to that was drama. You find that strange, don't you? But I loved drama, and I was okay at it in comparison. And I would have had fun. I would have enjoyed myself, and perhaps I would have learned a few things. But I spent 2 years trying to sharpen pencils and getting smudgy lines and getting it all wrong and just feeling generally poor about myself. Where I could have done drama, and I would have felt okay about myself. Even if I wasn't that good, I would have felt good about myself. And we've all got these things in life, haven't we? Hey, I'll tell you some other funny things about my abilities around pencils, and I'm a little bit dyslexic. When we first started sending, you know, lots of group emails and things out to church, and anyway, I got inspired as a newer pastor years and years ago, and I decided to send this Easter email out to the whole church. Anyway, and I type it all up, and I look at it a few times. It looks pretty good to me, and I send it out. The header line was supposed to say Easter weekend. Now, for those of you who are very astute, you will know that the W and the E are right next to each other on the keyboard. So my email subject said, waste a weekend. And I think the next line was something like, meant to be hello church, and I believe it said hell church. Waste a weekend, hell church. Come on. We're going places. We now have a rule, a long-standing rule, that Alex is very strong about, is that David sends nothing without it being proofread. So anyway, finished high school with a little bit of regret. And I guess you've all experienced that. Sometimes we regret, and regret means to feel sad or disappointed over something that has happened or been done, especially a loss or a missed opportunity. You know, those lost opportunities, think about the bigger things now. I've been a little lighthearted and frivolous perhaps, but you know, that business opportunity you feel could have probably worked, but you didn't take the risk, or a job that you never applied for, or perhaps even a relationship you never pursued. The words that you should have said to somebody special, or words you wish you could take back, we've all got them, haven't we? You see, regrets are real. They're there for all of us. Everyone can tell their own story. You know, I can certainly think about things like that. But if we look at Lamentations, and I love certain translations call this Jeremiah's grotto. Jeremiah's grotto. I love this because what actually happened is basically the city of Jerusalem was being burned and ravaged and pillaged, and he goes up onto a hill outside the city, and he sits there and he watches and he takes in the destruction of his beloved city, and he writes these things in Lamentations 3:19 to 24. He says, "The thought of my suffering and my homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss." And maybe right now you think about some of the journeys that you've been on in recent times, and you can relate to some of this. Some of you might have had to let a relationship go. Some of you might have been through a marriage that's failed. Or some of you might be going through a financial situation, whatever it is. And there is this sense of lamenting a season. But then verse 21, he says, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this." You see, the lament is powerful, but it's got to be connected to hope. If the lament is just a lament without that connection of hope, it becomes all-consuming. "Yet I dare to hope when I remember this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By his mercies we are kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him." You see, if we approach a new year in this way, we can actually take hold of the opportunities that are ahead for us. And we live with a peace that actually transcends our circumstances. I don't believe that you can constantly live in a state of regret. And the reason I'm just letting us lament a little bit and think about that before we go into a new year, I think it's important to get hold of these things and be honest about them. So how do we move beyond our regrets our perceived failings and our lost opportunities? How do we move beyond the things that have felt like they've happened to us and happened around us? You see, living in regret has a power that cripples us and holds us in a place or a time perhaps where those things were lost. See, one of the things I've perhaps come to understand in more recent years is here in Tasmania, we have this scar in our history of our journey with our Indigenous people. And, you know, many of us used to think, oh, well, that was sad. That happened a long time ago. We're all in this together. Let's get over it and move on. But it hasn't gone away, has it? It's still there and it still hovers over us. And obviously it'll never go away. But I think perhaps as a society, what we haven't really understood is how you lament something like that, how you choose to understand it so that we can move on together to what God has for us. You see, stuff happens in our world, stuff we don't think we deserve, stuff that we don't see coming, stuff we regret. Some stuff is beyond our control. We create ourselves, regardless of how or why it happened. Living in constant regret can be like a jail that separates us and takes away the opportunity and joy that's ahead of us. The reason I talk about that scenario with our Indigenous people is because perhaps there's a part of that that has actually still held us in that time or place because we haven't dealt with it and processed it in a way that we need to move forward. John 4:35 says, you've been saying this. So listen to this. This is the lament, but this is what's ahead of us. John 4:35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up, look around, the fields are already ripe for harvest. Now, those of you kingdom people say, yeah, we agree with that, but why don't we look up to the degree that we're being called to? Why don't we look to where Jesus is calling us? Why do we so often find ourselves looking down or looking back? Perhaps it's because we are still caught in the power of things that have happened and things that have gone on around us so that we're crippled, that we're unable to lift our eyes up. You know, are we looking at the things that have worn us down? Or do we do what Jesus said and lift our eyes up? So to live 2021 free from the power of regret. The regrets won't go away. You'll still remember them. But there will be circumstances and events that have been painful or just make you squirm when you think about them. And I believe that we don't have to stay in that place. All right, so to live 2022 above the power of regret, I think number one is be honest with yourself. We often want to compartmentalize things and park stuff, but I think an honesty of what is going on and what has happened and what is there is a powerful thing. You see, Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:13, he says, the thought of my suffering and homelessness, because he's lost his city and his home, is bitter beyond words. So he acknowledges his disappointment and grief, and he identifies it as a powerful force. You see, if we are living with unacknowledged disappointment, it will continue to hold us in that place. Be honest with yourself. Call it for what it is. In Lamentations 1 verse 5, he writes again, he says, her oppressors have become her master and her enemies prosper, for the Lord has punished Jerusalem for her many sins. Her children have been captured and taken away to distant lands. This once powerful, beautiful, influential city of Jerusalem is in ruins and its people have been exiled. But Jeremiah is actually honest about what he's feeling. And maybe just as you go into this year, things have changed for all of us. and on so many levels, and maybe we've just got to be, we've got to be prepared to sort of acknowledge that to ourselves, but understand that we're not going to stay and live in that place, but be honest about what you've lost. I think sometimes the Pentecostal Christian, we want to say, oh yeah, it's all good, it's all good, it's all better, I'm awesome. And you know, there are times, there's times for that. There's times to actually declare the goodness of God. But there's also a time to be honest with yourself about where you've been, who you are, and what is actually impacting you. And there are people who understand that a whole lot more than me on some of the processes of, that you need to go through to do that when stuff is big. But I encourage you to do it. To do it. Let's not live with unresolved stuff. And the place of resolving things is dealing with self. You can't always make other people come around to your way of thinking. You can't always have that conversation that sorts everything out with somebody, but you can move to a place of resolving things with yourself and with your God, ultimately. All right, to live 2022 beyond the power of regret. All right, believe God's in it. Believe God's in it. Did God just sort of, for the last 2 years, just sort of park himself and not be involved in what's going on? No way. We live in a broken world. Stuff happens. But is God present? Is God doing things in it? Absolutely he is. You know, you would remember almost when we first went into that initial lockdown, and it sort of happened almost worldwide, and I remember we all had to quickly get involved and get church online happening, and you know, everybody was in it together and doing all that. But did you know the numbers were in that first weekend of church online across the globe that more people connected with a faith service than had done for years and years and years. Like in the UK, there was something like 30 or 40% of the whole population actually engaged with an online faith service over that weekend where the lockdown started. And I know the numbers were very high here in Australia. I remember that first Easter of that year. And of course, it was interesting to the media and the news. And all, you know, the news across here, we had a whole lot of us that ended up on the nightly news just because, you know, they went round and they captured you know, shots and ripped a little bit off our feeds and things like that and put it up on the news, because it was so all of a sudden in something that was like, oh gee, everybody's been scattered, everybody's been disconnected, God was actually doing something. He was showing that he is Lord, that he is still there and he is still in it. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve my loss. Yet's a big word. Yet, I dare to hope in him when I remember this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. His mercies will be kept. His mercies have kept me from complete destruction. Whatever's going on, he acknowledges that God still keeps him. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. See, God is good. And I think in that season of dealing with what's behind us so that we can move in, we've got to have a mindset of God is good. God is good. There's a whole lot of stuff that's not good. We live in a world where there's lots of stuff that's not good, but God is good. And your connection with him will actually connect you with his goodness. His goodness will fill you. His goodness will flow through you. His goodness will make a difference. God is good. That's the secret to choosing to depend on him, knowing that he's good. Choose to see the good in our challenges. You know, even as I shared that little analogy of my time at school, I actually did, believe it or not, learn some things that have been useful in all that time in feeling frustrated in tech drawing. There was some good in it. To live 2022 free from regret. Number three, always maintain hope. Hope is an anchor that keeps our soul firm and secure. There was an old hymn we used to sing when I was growing up about hope being the anchor for our souls. And I love the way that Paul writes about it. He said it's this unbreakable spiritual lifeline. It's the connection to the object of our faith. You see, in Jesus Christ, we have an unshakable hope. When we were talking to the Nepalese pastors during the week, we had a time where they could ask some questions, and it was a really interesting answer, because one of them asked, what's the difference between trust and faith? And Pete and I sort of set about answering that, and then we found out from the interpreter that in Nepalese, the word trust and faith are pretty much the same word. Yeah, the inflection is different. So it wasn't an easy thing to understand, but you see, so what is the difference between trust and faith? Well, I think faith has this connection to hope. Not like, oh, I hope it's going to be all right, but my hope is in my God, because he will not fail me. Trust is very relational. Faith is spiritual, and it has this connection to hope, because it has this lifeline, this cord, if you like, that actually connects us to the object of our faith. Great picture I have of it is when I did a lot of scuba diving. We would first thing that we mostly did when we got out of the boat, we rolled out of the boat into the water, is we would swim down pretty much down the anchor rope of the boat, and we would just make sure, because there was nobody in the boat while we were diving. So what we would do is we would swim down and make sure that the anchor was actually connected to something solid. Because, you know, sometimes the anchor would just drop and not necessarily grab hold of the rock or the sand that it needed to hold it. So we would actually make sure that the anchor was actually connected to something firm. So, because we'd had it happen. I remember one time we came up and the boat was a long way away and it was moving fast, and we had a long swim to get back to the boat. So you would do that. But if it was a sunny day, what you could do is you would look up. You could look up that anchor rope, and you could actually see it. It was like that anchor rope went from the bottom of the ocean, wherever it was attached, and it would go up through the surface of the water. And it was like this anchor rope went from one dimension to another. Because like when you're scuba diving, you actually almost leave this atmosphere where you can talk and you can breathe and you can do all your stuff, and you go into another atmosphere. And this atmosphere is completely different. You're very reliant on your scuba equipment to breathe. You're reliant on certain procedures in being able to equalize so that your ears don't pop. You're reliant on all those things. You're reliant on wearing a weight belt around your waist so that you compensate for your natural buoyancy. All those things that you need in this different atmosphere. You see, we live in an atmosphere that ultimately we weren't created to live in. We were created, meant to be living in this perfect connection and relationship with our Maker, and things went wrong and we live in a broken world, but we have this hope that connects us from this atmosphere into the spiritual atmosphere. And if we understand and we can see that hope, well, then you are prepared and well prepared to live in the atmosphere in which you live. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on. 1 Corinthians 13:13. There are these three things, and we read this at weddings so often. There are these three things that endure. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. And I don't believe that we can live a successful Christian life without understanding and being connected to all three of them. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve my loss, yet I will still dare to hope when I remember this. So he acknowledges the situation and he has a good philosophical look at it, but he still looks forward, idea to hope. Verse 7, but blessed are those who trust and hope in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Come on. All right, last one. To live 2022 free from the power of regret, I think this is really important. And I reckon personally, this is one of the hardest things. Keep a soft heart. Wow. I would say over the last couple of years on different things that I've navigated, I've found that one of the most challenging things to deal with. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 3, 15 and 19. It says, today, when? When I get it together? Today, you must listen to his voice. Don't harden your hearts against him as Israel did when they rebelled. Now, here's a little bit of advice. Maybe you're struggling to keep a soft heart to a person. Maybe there's been a difficulty in a relationship or something like that, and you're struggling to keep a soft heart to a person. Well, I think we've got to get it the right way around. First of all, make sure that we work on keeping a soft heart towards our God. You see, if we do that first, he actually helps us with the other stuff. Verse 16, and who were those people who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Weren't they the ones Moses led out of Egypt and who made God very angry for 40 years? Down to verse 19. So we see that they were not allowed to enter his rest because of their unbelief. These guys went through miracles and crazy stuff that would just be a classic Steven Spielberg movie. Yet, they still got hard hearts. God reached into their situation, did amazing things in them, yet they still hardened their heart. Because what they do, they looked back and lamented things that they didn't have anymore. Oh yeah, we don't have garlic in our diet anymore. We don't have some of the things from the culture of Egypt anymore. We actually, things are uncertain. We're in the flipping desert and we don't know where we're going to be next. And it was like, come on, God, what are you doing? And their hearts got hard. It wasn't, that was the point of their unbelief. It was when their hearts hardened towards God that then they started making decisions that meant that they couldn't actually move in to the promise that God had for them. See, unbelief. There are times we see God all around us. There are times we walk about in his mercies and things that happen in our lives. But we have no rest. Some of you are in a great atmosphere, but we don't actually have rest because what happens is our hearts get hard. And my encouragement is, first and foremost, make sure your hearts are soft to God, and then he will allow you to have soft hearts to people. If the team want to join me, I'll finish in just a moment. I think looking back gives us an opportunity not to repeat the same things. I think that's why New Year's resolutions are so often never realised, because we don't actually move beyond the regret. Verse 21 of Lamentations 3, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. You see, as you consider a new year and all that lies ahead, the challenges and opportunity, Let's be bold enough to acknowledge our regrets and move beyond them. One of the saddest things is to see someone, you know, almost imprisoned in a season or a time or in a moment. I believe the year that we've got ahead of us probably won't be easy. Certainly, all the signs are that we're not in for a peaches and cream type year. But I will hope in the Lord. But He's doing a new thing. But there is something that is actually stirring in us. I think that the power of the gospel is actually going to start reaching people and families and communities like never before. What does it take for that to be reality for us? Well, let's make sure our hope is in our God. Let's make sure that we maintain soft hearts, first and foremost, towards our Father. And let's not be scared to be honest enough to deal with some of the stuff that we feel so that God can grab hold of us and take us in a powerful, powerful way into the future. Because He's actually calling all of you to lift your eyes, to look up and see that the fields are absolutely ripe for harvest. There are more disillusioned, hurting people that need the power and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's stand together.
To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Isn't He wonderful?
come to the altar. What does that mean? It's not a common phrase that we'd use in our everyday language or society. But what it does talk about is coming to a place where you actually lay your stuff down. You put it actually before Jesus. The altar was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of where things were actually given up. And I want to encourage us all. There's a sense of where this applies to everybody in the room. You know, what do we need to bring to the altar this morning as we go into a new year and a new season? What do we actually need to lay down before our God? Ultimately, to find purpose and hope in Jesus Christ, it actually requires us to actually let go of our life, let go of our pain, let go of our trying, let go of all the stuff that we try to do in our own strength to make it right. Let go of our own pride. See, Jesus said if you would actually lay your life down and follow me, you'll actually find true life. And I want to give people that opportunity this morning. You don't have to sign up to any club. You don't have to sign up to any secret society. You actually get the opportunity to lay your failings, to lay all your stuff down before Jesus and allow him to give you a brand new life. And this morning, if you'd be bold enough to pray a really simple prayer and mean it and allow it to transform you completely. And that prayer is to say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you are God himself, who actually came out of heaven, the spiritual realm, if you like, and came to this earth, to this place, to do what I couldn't do, to actually pay the price for my mistakes, my sins, and be the ultimate sacrifice. He was nailed to a cross. He was treated incredibly badly, brutalized, beaten beyond recognition. And it was God, creator of the universe, doing that for all of us. If you acknowledge that he is God, that you've mucked up, and that you want him to come and give you forgiveness and a new life, I'd love you to pray that prayer right now. So can we bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment? If that's you, if you know that you haven't done that, if you've done that, you'll know. If you're not sure, why don't you slip your hand up where you are and say, hey, Dave, that's me. I need to do that. If you're online, please send us a message and we'll engage with you in this. But if that's you, it's not about being a Christian. Isn't about a club. It's not about subscribing to certain behaviour. It's actually about relationship, connection and new life with Jesus Christ. It's where it all starts. If that's you, just give me a quick wave. Hey, praise God. Is there anybody else that's needing to pray that prayer this morning? Just give me a wave. If you're online, let us know and we'll acknowledge you in that. Okay, praise God. Let's pray together as people make a very important choice this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're the Son of God. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you're not angry with me. I thank you that you want to reach me where I am. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me. Thank you for dying for me. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Come into my heart. Make me new. Make me clean. Amen. Very cool. If you're online and you prayed that prayer, and you haven't contacted us yet, please let us know. We want to encourage you. Or if you're here in the room, we'll encourage you in that decision this morning. Just before we finish, I just want to just give an opportunity. All of us, I think, perhaps need to lay some stuff down, that coming to the altar as we go into a new year. What is it that the Holy Spirit's talking to you about right now? What is it that is going to help you navigate a new year with a soft heart, full of hope, full of expectation, to be part of a year where the gospel of Jesus Christ does things that it's never done before? What have we got to lay down and let go of to be in that place? What do you need to be honest about right now? Maybe there are things that you need and you are lamenting. It's cool. Be honest about them. Let me pray. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come and minister to people in this moment. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that all of us are way less than perfect. We thank you that you're the only one who is perfect. And in your perfection, you chose to live a life where you can actually relate to our pain, to our hurt, to our brokenness. And we just bring things right now to the altar. We give them to you, place them in your hands, and allow you to take them. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and you would start filling people. There are people here right now, and right now as you pray, there is actually a new hope that is actually building within you. For others, there's actually a weight that is actually being removed right now. There's a lightness that's coming back to your world. For some of you, it's not about making a resolution, but some of you feel the power of being resolute. Lord, we choose to lift our eyes, choose to look forward with great expectation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you want somebody to stand with you and agree and pray with you, we'd love to do that this morning. We're going to close the service in just a moment. And, we would just love, just come forward and some of us in the team here will stand and we'll pray with you and we will agree. This is a great power in agreement.